Sermon, True to Principle, Sunday, 4 p.m., Keio, New Zealand, March 5, 1893. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who hath appointed your meat and your drink. For why should he see your faces worse liking than the children which are of your sort? Then shall ye make me endanger my head to the king. Daniel 1, verse 8-10. Then said Daniel to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, Prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Then let our countenances be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat, and as thou seest, deal with thy servants. So he consented to them in this matter, and proved them 10 days. And at the end of 10 days their countenances appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. Thus Melzar took away the portion of their meat, and the wine that they should drink, and gave them pulse. Verses 11-16. Now, they ask for 10 days to prove their plain diet, and 10 days prove to the prince of the eunuchs that their diet was better than the king's diet. Their simple diet, free from wine, and highly flavored meats agreed with these captives, as their countenances proved. It gave them a clear brain and active mind, that they might acquire knowledge and reach a high standard in knowledge. As for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Verse 17. If we do not go out into the customs and practices of the world, how much better? Some advocate there is such a high state of knowledge in the world to obtain. Just as the enemy came to Adam and Eve and presented to her that if she would do as he said, she would have such wonderful knowledge. The enemy wrought to counteract the works of God. May the Lord God of Israel be our strength. The Jews were cautioned not to practice idolatry, nor to intermarry with the heathen. But they disobeyed God, and were punished again and again. God designed that the name of the Lord God of Israel should be brought to the knowledge of the idolatrous nations. The Jewish nation was building up bulwarks that nobody would get light out of them. The Lord lets them go into captivity, in order that the knowledge of the Lord God of Israel may be extended in the earth. As for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now at the end of the days that the king had said he should bring them in, then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. And the king communed with them, and among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king. Verses 17-19. Let us weigh the whole matter. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding, that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. Verse 20. How much better? Was it double? It was 10 times better. We want you to take in this matter, which shows us that our habits of eating and drinking have much to do with our intellect. After God has placed us in certain circumstances, he will guide and lead himself. He never wants us to dare. Many cannot bear a dare. But Daniel was placed in the king's court. He sized the matter up and down, and purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Verse 8. Daniel did not reason as many of the youth reason in this age of the world, that he would not have success unless he did, as that others do. This vain philosophy is the reasoning of many minds. What we want to see is young men of moral strength.
Mothers should educate their babies in their arms after correct principles and habits. They should not allow them to pound their heads on the floor. A child never straightened in my arms but once. Let the mothers educate them in their infancy. Commence with the songs of Bethlehem. These soft tunes will have a quieting influence. Sing them these subdued tunes in regard to Christ and His love. I have had the care of children, and I know what I am talking about. What right have parents to bring children into the world, to neglect, and to let them grow up without culture and Christian training? Parents should be responsible. Teach them control. Teach them that they are to be managed and not to manage. Some infants are being constantly fed, which creates a feverishness in the stomach. Let the infant have its regular hours of eating. Educate it to correct habits. Never irritate the nerves of a child. When fretting commences, children read the expression. You let gloom show on your countenances, and children read that. Mothers and fathers, you are living in danger if you neglect your children. Every day there are lessons to be learned in the school of Christ. I must know that Jesus Christ is my helper and friend. Christ is more willing to give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him than parents are to give good gifts to their children. If you ask, you expect He will give you what you ask. Hang upon the merits of the crucified and risen Savior. It takes more than four walls to make a happy home. How can we bruise one another and then offer praise? No, you are to remember that home is a sample of heaven. Children will imitate their parents. There should not be one word to irritate their fine sensibilities. Their character is worth more than gold. You want that character to be refined. Everything that is connected with the household should be fragrant. You are to prepare them for the society of heaven. Some women think it necessary to girdle and lace their waist as though it were not made small enough. That is why we see the difficulty of such short breathing, that little breath. You place such ones as secretaries, and when they read, it is almost impossible to hear them. They have such a little, sharp voice. What is the use of disarranging God's order? Do not for Christ's sake crowd your heart. It is the machine of the whole body. It is the habitation God has given us. David said, I am wonderfully and fearfully made. Psalm 139, verse 14. Do parents consider that they are laying the foundation for an early death? I am sorry to see those broad shoulders and small waists. It is wrong not to let the human machinery do its work. You need to learn at the cross of Christ. You are not to reach the world's standard, but place your hand in the hand of Christ. You must have peace among yourselves. You must not have strife in your household. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. James 3, verse 17, 18. It is gentleness and peace that we want in our homes. Everywhere we look are the devotees of fashion. Have parents a sense of their responsibility before God? The children will pattern after their parents. They will even try to imitate their step and tone of voice. What kind of an example have you given to your children? Have you set them the example of tobacco and liquor using? These introduced into the system sets up a warfare. There is no natural appetite for tobacco in nature unless inherited. After they have nearly died, from the first attempt, they use tobacco. Suppose we should impose that on you as one of God's ordinances. You would say that you wanted no such ordinances. What does tobacco do? It is your God. When your tobacco is gone, are you in a condition to pray? No, you could not say a sincere prayer, because your mind is exercised for the want of your tobacco. Some of you must be steamed up under the inspiration of your tobacco. The same is true of some who use liquor. Remember, God does not serve with your sins. Here is the liquor question. What a curse it is! You know it like handling fire. God sent an angel from heaven to the wife of Manoah. And the angel of the Lord said, Now therefore beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. Judges 13, verse 4. That which composes the blood of parents goes to their posterity. It was said of the forerunner of Christ, He shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost. Luke 1, verse 15. God wanted the forerunner of Jesus Christ to be a steady ruler. He turned many from their sins to righteousness. He would not drink wine nor strong drink, before he went before the Lord to do a special work. The work of Nadab and Abihu was to kindle the fire. In the sacred service, the common fire was not to be used, but they used the common fire, and the Lord let fire go forth that consumed them, because they did not respect his service. They partook of the strong drink, and it confused their brain, and they thought there was nothing particular about the orders of God. When any partake of the strong drink, they should know that they are held responsible for all they do under its influence of the stimulant. He made a law that those in sacred office should not touch wine nor strong drink, that they might do justice to the widow and the fatherless. Today you may well say, "What shall we do?" We say, "Lead your children to God. Look to God and learn lessons of Jesus Christ." What hope have we for the race in its present condition? But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking. Matthew 24, verse 37, 38. What doing? Eating and drinking, and marrying and giving in marriage. We see the time of the sacred figures are nearly used up. Look at the condition of our world today. Read the terrible crimes that are printed in our newspapers. Fraud and debauchery are carried on to an alarming extent. Many of the clerks cannot be trusted. We read of robbery in all lines. Many of them are church members and use this as a cloak. What kind of a condition is our world in? You should educate your children that this state of things shall not come into your families. There is a remedy in the Word of God, and if closely followed, they will avoid these evils. Satan came to Adam and Eve in Eden and held a conversation with Eve. He said God was restricting her from knowledge, and so flattered her that she listened to all his suggestions. God did not want her to know evil. God wanted them to be instructed in good only. But Adam and Eve fell, and the garment of light no longer covered them. Adam hid himself and did not go to meet God. God used to commune with him. The following are the words of the first gospel sermon, and it was preached in the Garden of Eden. "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." Genesis 3, verse 15. Satan cannot touch the head, nor the reason unless we give it to him. By our stepping on his ground, he gets possession. He cannot read our thoughts. What wonderful promises are made to us in the Word of God. "For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." John 3, verse 16. That is what the Lord gave Jesus for. The law of God had been transgressed. It could not be changed to meet man in his fallen condition. Jesus Christ, the maker of the law, came to our world in the image of God, and died that we might have eternal life. The law is a transcript of God's character. No more could the law of God be abolished, nor one precept of it altered, than you could tear away the throne of the infinite God. Christ, who stood at the head, could rescue men from the power of the enemy. He was the foundation of the whole Jewish economy. Type met antitype in Christ when he came to our world. Type met antitype on the cross of Calvary. When the Jews heard Christ deliver his sermon on the Mount, they thought he was going to pass by the law, but on their astonished ears fell these words: "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill." Matthew 5, verse 17. He fulfilled every specification of it. To fulfill does not mean to do away. We read in Matthew 3, verse 15, "For thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness." To have abolished the law would have been to immortalize sin. There was nothing in the law that needed changing or altering. Christ showed that the law took hold upon the thoughts and intents and purposes of the heart. We should prepare for time and eternity. Look at the liquor stores everywhere. They sell to those who sell their reason. Why so much agony and distress? It is because Satan has the controlling power. Those things are indulged in that create an appetite for liquor. There are things indulged in the homes of many that create a desire for strong drink. The lawmaking powers give liberty to the sale of intoxicating drinks. How does the universe of heaven look upon these things? Do you think they will be weighed in the balances and not found wanting? There is legal killing. The Savior of the world gave his life to show the immutability of the law of God. Everyone that puts the glass of liquor to his lips is selling his reason. No drunkard can enter the portals of glory. If men paid respect to the Ten Commandments of God, there would not be the distress and misery that we see in our land today. We are not under bondage to the law. We are free in Christ. We stand free because we obey the law. Appetite has a controlling power upon men. Christ overcame, and we may overcome. Christ was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights. No person could be any more severely tempted than was he. Satan said to him, "You need not hunger here." The devil said, "If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread." And Jesus answered him, saying, "It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." Luke 4, verse 3, 4. Satan might have lived in heaven if he had obeyed the word of God. Satan, finding himself baffled on one point, tempts Christ on another point. "Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone." Matthew 4, verse 5, 6. The devil had put him there, and Christ would not throw himself down. Christ never asked God to work a miracle in his own behalf. Jesus said unto him, "It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." Verse 7. Then Satan's last masterly effort was to be made. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of this world, and the glory of them, and saith unto him, "All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me." Then saith Jesus unto him, "Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." Verses 8-10. Christ would not serve the devil. Why Satan fled from his presence? Divinity flashed through humanity, and Satan could not stand in the presence of Christ. Here the second Adam passed over the three leading temptations whereby man is beset. Satan saw the angels of God coming into the field. "I have trodden the winepress alone, and of the people there was none with me." Isaiah 63, verse 3. An angel's hand soothed the Son of God and gave him to eat. Christ redeemed Adam's disgraceful failure and fall. Every son and daughter of Adam would be safe if they would take hold of the crucified and risen Savior. Christ makes it possible for every one of us to come off more than conquerors. It was the divine nature combined with the human that enabled Christ to overcome. The angels have charge over us. As God gave power to Christ, He will give it to us. There are 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of angels. Revelation 5, verse 11. Neither son nor daughter of Adam need go into iniquity. When Christ bowed in prayer on the banks of the Jordan, his prayer cleaved through the heavens, and a dove, in appearance like to burnished gold, encircled the Son of God. What does this prayer mean? It means that you are accepted in the Beloved. The mystic ladder that Jacob saw represents Jesus Christ. Its base was on the earth, and its topmost round reached the throne of infinity. The angels of God were ascending and descending that ladder of shining brightness. It is our work to be partakers of the divine nature. We are not to fold our hands and wait in idle expectancy. God calls upon every one of us to stand at our post of duty. There is not any too much to any finite mortal. We want to do as did Daniel, who never wavered one line from principle. He was an active statesman, but he always found time to wait upon God. Would that we had more Daniels. Those that use tobacco and liquor are unfitted for their work. Every judge who sits in court as a judge should abstain from every intoxicant. We see men defile themselves with this narcotic, which nearly always leads to drink. The engineers on the railroad and on the steamboats use this weed and strong drink. It is the fashion, the custom, everywhere. It is best for somebody to be right. What are the youth that are before me going to do? We know not how many may sit in legislative councils. Educate them and train them that they may have clear brains. God said that the judges should not take wine. The world has come to a point where judges, as well as others, do not heed the warning. The commandments of men are taught for the commandments of God, and the consciences of men are forced, and that is what God never did. I have decided to keep God's law. How shall you train your children? For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Matthew 16, verse 26. Eating and drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage is carried to excess. There are marriages that God approves of, but there are many that are an injury to those that contract them. The world is filled with corruption. Let us teach the commandments of God to our children. Let us do our duty before God. Teach your children the precepts of God when they go out and when they come in. Do this, and God will bless you in doing so. I call upon parents that have children. What are you going to do? Take every child and place him where the bright rays of the Sun of Righteousness shall shine into his soul. Do not let the rising generation be given over to the enemy. There are many in disobedience to God's commands now. But you can begin to teach them line upon line and precept upon precept. When sinners entice you, say a square no. What are you doing to improve your minds? How many of you load your bookshelves with trashy novels? This kind of reading is unfitting you for usefulness, weakening the brain powers. God commands you to make the most of your talents. You are to improve every talent. Satan has the control of those who give themselves to novel reading, and many do not know it. We talk to you of Christ. Ask Isaiah who he is, and he will tell you. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David, and upon his kingdom, to order it, and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth. Isaiah 9, verse 6, 7. The tobacco habit beclouds so many minds. Why do you not give up this habit? Why not arise and say, I will serve sin and the devil no longer? Say, I will let alone this poisonous narcotic. You never can do it in your own strength. Christ says, I am at thy right hand to help thee. See Isaiah 41, verse 13. There are places where card playing is carried on. You cannot afford to visit those places. It leads on from one point of ruin to another until you ruin soul and body. God is disappointed in you. Jesus Christ is disappointed in you. Some of you think you cannot do without tobacco, but you can. How do women get along without the use of it? The brain of women is composed after the same order as that of men. What answer can you give to Jehovah for this indulgence? Some of you drink rum, use tobacco, and read the trashy novels of the day, and yet say you have no time to read the Bible. The Bible is the garden of God. It contains truth, solemn, sacred truth. Oh, what perverted appetites! Christ brings eternal truths to view in the Bible. You have to war against principalities and powers. The world is so slack and common and cheap. Sacred things are brought into the very dirt. Even children talk about getting married. You must educate their minds. Educate them to hold themselves sacred. Place your mind and plans on God's side. You should welcome Jesus Christ as a guest into your homes. You want the love of God in your hearts. Dig deep into the mine of God. Educate and train your souls for the future life. Here are lambs of Christ's fold. He will require them at your hand. You should have your minds pure, clean, and holy, that God may impress them. We want to cast our glittering crowns at Jesus' feet and touch the golden har, and sing songs to the Lamb of God. God grant that you may be there.